Good evening, dear listeners, and welcome to a very delayed or very early episode of the Shatsong LARP Diaries. I'm your host, Chris, and I'm joined once again by my erstwhile friend, Matty.
That's me. You might have noticed there's just me today.
Yeah,
we've got some news for you.
Yeah, Sol is not dead.
Sol is... Oh, I was going to let it drag out for a little longer.
Yeah, we can't be scaring people. Like, yeah, we've lost at least... I was about to say a third of the podcast, but really he's half of the entertainment, with you being the other half, of course.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, thanks for clarifying that. Yeah,
yeah, I thought that was... Yeah. You know, lest we lose the second third of the podcast at that grievous insult. But anyway...
maths is not what this podcast is about.
The Mathasong pod. Anyway, shut the fuck up, Chris. Sol is out playing...
Shatasum podcast. Sorry, I'm on it now.
Perfect, Shatasum podcast. The Academy-friendly version. Oh, actually,
Sol is busy doing fun things.
Yeah, he's playing in a tournament for the Middle-Earth strategy battle game.
And it's not like fans out there, we've had 6 months to do this where we could have arranged a time we were all free. But, you know, that's fine.
Yeah, I think...
It's on brand.
It's on brand, but also not quite Walk Longest Path Part 2 energy. But we did give PD a little bit of shade for being a little bit, you know, the winds are still coming out and we're less than a week away from the event. But on the flip side, we are releasing the Episode 4 summary less than a week before E1. So we are quite literally our own worst enemy.
Yeah, it's true.
Yep.
I don't know if I remember much. So we were looking through this, and I know I've looked through this document, which I think we must have filled out maybe a week or two after E4.
I think it was pretty much immediate for me, because Sol put the document out, didn't fill it in. I did. You did it like a couple of days later, I think.
The thing is, I don't know what I'm talking about for half of it. And some of it I have vague recollections of. But they are vague.
Yeah, now
it's taken some time to figure out what was going on. What I do remember is how warm it was.
It was a hot
the
one.
Fourth in four incredibly warm events.
Yeah, last I don't think we had storms. Don't get me wrong, like you know, fucking.
But only at the end. Lightning.
At the end of each event,
yeah,
to balance out the weather. But otherwise,
it was gorgeous. Literally was. It was boiling hot for every event, and then it rained or stormed on the Sunday of every event, from what I remember.
Yep. There was a dust storm, I think, at E3. Do you remember we walked out to the car and it was just... the sky
was purple.
Was
that a dust storm? That was when I was putting the... I was over somewhere. I had to get back and it was just going completely black.
Yeah.
That was, E2 or something. Oh, God, it was insane, yeah.
Backlit with lightning. Watching this billowing clouds of dust and almost like a smoke grenade just billowing over the car park and people running for cover. Great fun. 10 out of 10.
Yeah.
Would recommend, as long as you don't have to enjoy the consequences on the way home.
Well, it was at E1 or E2 was the first time that they were like letting cars on early because of the...
It was E1. Yeah, E1 last year.
Started the trend, man.
Yeah. I mean, I really hope that... I understand it. Like, it's a game. People need to get home. And if the shit is going to hit the fan, fair enough. And how, like, people start packing up from midday sometimes anyway, so it's not really changing that much. But I've paid
for my... We have
my...
time in and time out for a reason.
Precisely. I've paid for my ticket, and if I'm role-playing, and I want to keep role-playing, I like to think I should be able to, without an SUV clattering through the walls of Senate.
I'm pleased to report that hasn't happened yet, but I gotta say the times when I was in military council were the best, because you're in the military council tent right up until 3 o'clock. So you come out and half the field is packed down, but you've been in the moment till then. So
definitely. And unfortunately, with only four events a year, you know, you want to squeeze every last visceral second out of these. But yeah, anyway, should we actually talk about E4 of 2023? And
it would be
385 year of the Empire. A week before we go into winter.
Oh my God. It actually feels like winter for this winter, which is interesting. Yeah. All right, first thing up.
Yeah, let's get the fuck
was actually before time. Shut up. Shut up. You have spent, dear listeners, Christopher
don't,
has spent,
don't, please,
I don't even know how long trying to figure out all
this. I won't, but I will. We'll think about it.
That is such an empty threat.
Yeah, it is.
You'll never find it again.
No.
No. Okay, but we started, I can't remember how this came about. I think you or Sol mentioned to me that this had been talked about. That the Shattersong Diaries had been invited by the LARP noobs at the time to come and do, I think it was for charity, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was a Christmas raffle that was a, sounded like a big success from what I saw, actually. So
good.
This is done with the beauty of hindsight, but we got invited to change our little podcast from an MP3 to an MP4. And we got taken deep.
Okay, I get it.
We got taken deep into the woods by Ian, and Dave, and we did a little skit, very similar to Anchorman, if you've ever seen that film, where all the newscaster teams start fighting each other. We did the same as usual.
Of different podcasts.
Yep.
Who was there? There were so many that I kind of I didn't realize there were so many Empire podcasts. There was at least like 4 or 5.
Yeah, there was us, obviously LARP noobs, LARPs and Tarps. The Fighting Spuds.
Yeah, the Marshall one.
Yeah, and
there
then
was, there was the two that couldn't be there who were represented by paddles. It's hard to describe. You'll have to, I'm sure it's somewhere to view it. It's probably on the LARP noobs Facebook page.
And on YouTube.
Yeah.
It is there.
Makes sense. It was good fun. Most of the stuff that we filmed didn't make it in, which is a shame because I spent probably a good 5 minutes, longer than it sounds, throwing myself to the ground in 25 degree heat in chainmail.
Yeah, I think we filmed that particular leap from a grenade and it's like, nah, I'm not going to do that. And I'm literally sat there with like twisted ribs.
Where are the bloopers, noobs? Where are the bloopers? I want the behind the scenes cut. It could be a 30 minute behind the scenes cut and I would watch it. There, it was a real laugh. It was good fun. It was a nice way to kick it off.
And more about LARPs and Tarps later. because they, I'll say it now. Yeah, no, it's not even foreshadowing. It's just four. There is no shadow. It's all in the clear, crisp daylight of what I'm about to say.
Actually, more against. This is a,
this is just like, this is just shade. Oh, damn it. It's a shadow again. They win at every turn. Anyway, the LARPs and Tarps did a fantastic episode covering E4, and they talked about a particular Cold Sun skirmish. We're going to talk about that as well, but we have an extremely different opinion as to what happened. And we're going to we're going to drop some
set the record straight truth. Is what we're going to do.
That's it. I was about to make a Truth Social reference, but Set the Record Straight is much less politically charged. Thank you, Matty.
Sure. You're welcome. I'm always here for PR.
You are.
All right. We did that. We did Anchorman stuff. That was before Time In. On that was like Friday midday-ish or something.
Yeah.
And there was some shopping. Which does actually bear mentioning. Normally we go straight into the time, but actually I bought myself a present.
What kind of present, Matty?
It was one that goes pew pew pew.
Wrapped up in a little bow.
I get it. I like that. I like that. Yeah, I bought a bow from Anvil as well. I was walking around because the one that I was supposed to use was not available. And I think I'd been archerying for about three events, you say? Yeah. Okay. Three. So I knew that I was like loving it. Why?
It is a shaft. Oh, okay, right. Okay.
It is. Anyway.
I promise not swiftly to remove that in post either.
Moving swiftly on. I asked Chris to walk around so that I could get some bow buying advice, just in case. And I remember there was one that I kind of liked. And then we walked into the other shop. I can picture the tents, and I never, ever remember the names of which tent is which.
It's
so I have no clue.
It's the little lightning bolt one. It's right at the edge of the old shopping parade.
Yeah, opposite Chow's.
I know exactly what you mean.
And anyway, I can't remember what it's called, but it was from that shop. It was really, really cool. It's a beautiful light wood bow. Yeah, gorgeous. Easy. Yep. And they upsold me a bunch of arrows. Also easy, because I needed those. I got a quiver as well. I got everything. I got a full loadout. Yeah. And it was amazing. It's so cool. I've actually been talking to people locally here to be like, is there an archery club anywhere that I can join? Because I love it so much. So thanks, Laugh Archery. Did you buy anything?
So Sol bought something I wanted because there were some really... I've actually got a copy of what we saw in my shed at the moment. So I do have this now. But at this point, I didn't. I was fucking livid. So they're these beautiful greaves. I don't know which company makes them, but they appear in different shops everywhere. They're relatively common.
Are they the ones with the knee joint?
They are indeed. And they've got a little bit of elastic between the armor and then the leather strap. So you can do it just on the tight side of things, but you've got enough elastic to make it
comfortable. Yeah, and so it's not too tight or too loose. It's got a bit of a adjustability.
And it's good medium leg armor coverage. Because I've tried to make you can make your own greaves, right? But then your upper leg is the place that just gets smacked in combat most of the time in Empire. So you can wear a chain skirt or something, but...
I was just going to say, do leather war skirts count as armor?
It depends on the thickness of the leather. So if it's 3mm plus, it's medium. And less than that, it would be light.
And it counts as coverage?
Yeah, if it covers you, it covers you. And if it's sprayed silver, it counts as heavy.
You know exactly what you've done.
Yeah,
that is still unreleased. You can't refer to it. No, you can't make references to unreleased. I didn't know you were binning it. I still think you should put it out. I have no issue with putting those opinions out there.
Yeah, it's like a nuclear launch code. I don't intend to use it, but I do have it. Yeah, anyway, so we found this beautiful set of greaves and I was oohing and aahing. Sol gave his opinion. Then Sol decided that actually he wanted them as well. And I said,
Sol gazumped you.
Sol, perfect word for it. Yeah, gazumped me for it. Picks them up because
I've spent the last 5 minutes trying to remember the word gazumped. I was like, it's when you're trying to buy a house and someone else buys it. What is it? It's not bazillioned. It's not bamboozled. It's something else. You were also bamboozled by the move, to be fair.
Yeah, I was. And Sol got them. They look great. And that only reinforced my desire to buy some at What's Your Game in Jan.
When did you get them?
So that is my acrimonious purchase out of the way. However, the really fun one, the one that actually people are excited for, is Girthquake.
Was that at E4?
That was E4, yeah.
You've only had Girthquake for one event? Yep. Oh my God.
Yeah, it's been a wild event.
Please explain Girthquake.
Girthquake is a thick, chunky, two-handed pommel axe I really should remember the manufacturer so I can drop it for out of desperation for sponsorship.
Maybe next time when we fill out these sheets, we actually write down where we've bought stuff.
Yeah, the sentence we've got on the document is, didn't buy new greaves, did buy Girthquake. Full stop. Real descriptive, Chris.
Yeah. Girthquake is great.
Yeah, it is.
But I'm pretty sure the girth reference has, you know, the eighth virtue is girth. It comes up so often, but it was at its peak, really, at E4.
Yeah.
So it was just the perfect name for it. Girthquake, such a good name.
Yeah, it is quite a thick axe as well, and it's got, again, from the notes, it's got Kevlar on both sides of it, so it's double-sided, so it can hook. Yep, Matty's face. It has Kevlar inside.
I was looking at that note thinking, like, that can't be what I actually think it is. Yeah, it's got the body Kevlar armor material.
Yeah, because we've, in general...
How is it LARP safe?
It's fine. It's a soft material.
No way.
Because, yeah, Kevlar armor always looks and is hard, but it's actually a...
It's a fabric,
like
isn't
sort of thin
it?
Strip. Yeah. Yeah, basically. I'm not an expert, but it's not like the ceramic plates you get inserted into Kevlar body armor.
Yeah.
But,
yeah,
this thing, it's designed to hook and hook hard, and it can do what it wants. And it very much did that across the weekend, as we'll discover later. But yeah, Girthquake beautiful piece of kit, and I've never felt cooler holding it. Yeah, I don't know if I prefer it to the longbow. I do love my longbow, but if me and Girthquake were to elope, it would be a happy marriage. A happy second.
It's true. It's true. Yeah. That's true. I'm still so. It's also when you get a new weapon and you're like, this is this is a fun thing. Mm. I'm enjoying this. Like, I'm that way with the bow now. But I had the same experience when I got the spear for the first time of like, aha, this is what I've been missing. Oh yeah.
This is what it feels like. All right. Like, stab someone.
We're gonna keep moving because we haven't even hit time in yet. And I don't even know.
Oh my god. Yeah. I skipped drill.
It was warm. We didn't have a drill. That's fine. It was so hot. I mean, I've got written down costume greenizer, and that's because I had pieces of costume for my character Isa. And it was too hot. It was too hot to wear them. I had a linen skirt and a linen dress. Should be fine. Too hot to wear them. Just could not do it. So I had to wear my underlayers, which are just green. They looked fine, but it was just green. It was green on green on green. So I was very green. It wasn't bad. It just was very green. So I've got to think about that, basically. But I was really glad I got this one top, which actually is technically a tankini top.
A tankini?
It's like the top half of a swimming suit. So not a bikini, but a swimming suit. So it like is like a spaghetti top. Yeah. So number one.
It's spaghetti.
Sit there and think about what you've done.
Sorry.
<Come on. laughs> What I was going to say is number one, to anyone who has to wear a bra, you don't have to wear a bra if you're wearing one of these. Very good, very comfortable. Number two, if it gets wet because you get rained on, dries out very quickly. Number three, if it gets wet because you sweat a lot, dries out very quickly. Mm. And the material itself is very breathable. So all round, I would highly suggest as a good layer of kit, to be honest. But yeah, I might make some new kit. I'm hoping that it's going to be cool enough for the next one that I can wear the reds again, because I like the reds. It makes me feel less like Larkin.
Yeah, I have good and bad news for you on that front. From the weather forecast, it does look a lot cooler, about 12 degrees, because it's raining.
Yeah. Figures.
Yeah.
Not a huge surprise. I would have killed for a bit of rain. At E4, actually. I really would.
I really hope this isn't just a year of rain to balance out.
To balance it out.
Burning.
The Empire weather machine is broken. Oh my god. Okay. I think we've hit time in.
Yeah, time in and standing. So we didn't really get much of our plot at E4. Some of the outstanding things are what we call the cheat code library. I think it's the library of
Hacinian?
Hycinian, yeah, because it's not Hycinian, it's Hacinian. And that is essentially going to trigger what I like to think is the Navar endgame, so how to tackle Forlorn permanently and reclaim some of our homelands.
Yeah.
Very cool, very fun, hasn't been finished yet. So understandably, we didn't get much at E4, because the rest of the Empire
The library has, the research hasn't, for clarity. But
it's going to take.
I know we're expecting something in the wings. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's all strange stuff going on. Yeah, there wasn't a lot that happened, but obviously it was general's elections.
Mm.
And it was. Appeared.
Like, it was just. At this point, it was like, there's something called Cold Sun. More on that later.
What was. Who was up for election this time?
Varanthar Shattersong of the Quiet Step.
Was it Quiet Step?
It was Quiet Step. It better be, because Varanthar is still in charge of the Quiet Step.
At least I'm just confused, because obviously... No, that makes sense. That makes sense, because E3 Faran was acting general, because there was no reason to do two elections season after season. Yeah, I remember.
Got at E2.
Brennos chose to have been got.
Yeah, Brennos got Brennos. That's the only Predator.
That's the only way Brennos he was ever going to go out. I choose to die now was quite literally how it happened.
Looks himself dead in the mirror and goes, go on, do it.
You first. Yeah, okay. Oh, yeah, fair enough. So, quiet step elections. Exciting. Mm.
Yeah, so I'll let you talk about the actual election and the military side of things, but as the champion of vigilance, I want to talk about the virtue side of things.
Interesting. Yeah. Go ahead.
So, published between E3 and E4 was a statement of principle that saying effectively death to the Druge was not virtuous. Now, the actual context of this is that it's not virtuous for army orders. However, because a bunch of chimps, you know, like myself, play Empire LARP in the UK, run by Profound Decisions, the news that hit the field was that death to the Druge is not virtuous, omitting that key piece of context. So everyone's very upset at the idea of the Synod telling them that they can't kill the Druge, because they're the ones, yeah, of all the barbarians, the most worthy of death.
They're just so killable.
I brought this up at the election. How Navari elections work is candidates stand up, little speech, three questions, or maybe up to five from the audience. I got mine in, and it was, is the following statement virtuous? Death to the Druge. As soon as I said that, there was literal applause in the audience, and then a few candidates who were more clued up on the way the Synod works corrected me and said, no, it's not virtuous, and here's why. And then each candidate had to, with varying degrees of happiness,
enthusiasm,
conviction, that's it. Mm. Varying degrees of conviction had to say, no, it's not virtuous. Mm. But that set the tone for a lot.
It did set the tone, election. It did. Navari elections are, it's true for most of them, but it's the most notable, I think, for the generals, because it's the one that for pretty much every other nation is elected directly by the senators. So they'll do an interview with you, the candidates. They may not even select certain candidates, and then they will decide who gets to do the thing, right? But Navari elections as a whole are always run in the way that Chris said, and that also includes now the general's election. So for Navarre, for better or for worse, I could probably do an hour-long discussion on why I don't always agree with the way that it happens, but, you know, we're not going to talk about that now. It's anyone who just wins the votes. It's technically the winner of the votes is then, it's the advisory winner that is then submitted to the senators, who then have to pick. But historically, the senators have only once, I think, gone against the will of General Navarre. Mm. And that was for a known heretic.
Yeah.
So, yeah. But yeah, so in Navarre, it's really kind of almost a charisma game. It's just in the moment talking. It's a real popularity game. So a lot of, you know, the way that you answer the questions isn't necessarily going to be based on, you know, if you say the correct thing. You've just got to say the thing that gets the crowd on your side. And
the way you present that as well. A lot of the pawns aren't attending military council.
Yeah.
And if you think about it, it's not a very good way to pick a general, because you're asking a bunch of people who are not experts to pick
Chris,
something.
I've just said we can't go off on this tangent because I will be here forever.
All right, I'll shut the fuck up. But to reinforce your point, you can
let
show
us
up
know if you'd
no
like
idea.
To hear us discuss the way that the generals' elections are held in Navarre, because I have opinions.
Please don't. We
I just don't know if I'm allowed to speak
a
about
year
them.
Out, an extra 25% workload is
Matty,
just gonna.
Matty's solo episode. Would you all like a lecture on it? I will do nothing without the will of the people, much like a Navari election. Anyway, moving swiftly on.
Swiftly on, yeah.
Farron got elected, which was amazing. It was a very close thing.
It was
a really close thing.
I believe it was two votes.
It was something like that. It was really, really close. Obviously, I believe best person still won. Was very pleased to see.
Yep.
Oh, general, my general. So yeah, the next general Shattersong, interestingly.
I'm just looking at our prompt, and Souls is just I win.
I win.
Incredible.
It does say that. Dawn's cancelled. General's elections. I win. There he is. Yeah, it was so good. I was very, very, very pleased. Of course, it does now mean that out of the Shatter songs, Sol was the only one of no particular renown and now is of renown. So following that trend will shortly die. of course.
Yeah, he's got about, what, one, maybe two events and then...
Yeah, exactly. Gone. That's it.
Yeah.
That's all that's left.
Rip Farron.
Exactly. There were loads of elections, actually. Got down here. The Wisdom election, won by Mr. Cambion with the excellent horns.
Oh,
and,
brilliant.
Yeah. And Spear of the Seven, which our friend Andy / Corwin Hartsbone has been working on for, God, a year now.
He solo made this. He got all
I think
the money,
he's been working on it from more than a year, in fact.
Yeah, he's been really putting... He put literally all the effort in, even buying, I think, way leaves to get the motion brought up in Senate to build the sinecure. And
he had this vision... it's something that we talked about while I was still playing Larkin, it's a really good plan, was to have someone who was specifically dedicated to managing the military units of Navarre, because Navarre is a huge nation and there are a lot of people with military units. And historically, when we've had sudden need for it to be organized, someone has had to volunteer. I did that once. I don't know if I'd do it again. But, you know, bless his heart, he decided he was going to do it. He was doing a great job. And I think this is actually, funnily enough, speaking about elections, this is one of the few times when it was decided by the senators that he was going to be elected to the position by them without a vote.
Yep.
For the first year.
Senator for Hercynia. Good old Dave from the Lot News podcast.
Mm-hmm.
Steps in and goes, blah, blah, blah. We're not holding a vote. Corwin's earned it. Corwin gets it. Shut the fuck up.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Which is good, and it does feel right as well. It's only for a year, then it'll be up for re-election. So, you know, it's not like someone's secretly, you know, bartered and done. He's been doing a lot with the nation for a lot of the stuff, and he's been doing the job itself. So it felt
he could
right.
have made it a tenured position. But
but he doesn't like that.
Yeah, exactly. Like it is. I can understand the personal IC reasons you'd make a tenured position, but having something that's elected each year is just much more fun, much more interesting.
Yeah, I think I can.
A few tenured positions, and they are difficult to shift.
Don't worry, I'll cover that all in my solo episode on Navarre. Leadership, elections, and positions.
Sprinkling little notes in the just by the page. But
all
yeah,
of the new things. Yeah,
very cool.
Yeah, so it was a good start for Friday, really. There's a lot on here, but really, I think it sounds like your evening was slightly more interesting than mine.
Yeah,
because was it E3 when you got voted in?
That's E3.
The end of
E3. I rightfully won the election for the Champion of Vigilance with exactly.
Hang on. You technically won.
I did. Technically or non-technically, I won.
You,
there
you
was
didn't
no
win.
One else
it,
more
it
popular.
It defaulted to you.
Who was alive?
Sorry, Becca.
sorry, Becca.
If you're listening, Becca, we miss Rivardi.
We do. Actually, I believe Rivardi had the same leg armor that me and Sol got.
Yes,
It looks fucking sick. But
Linda just wants to be Rivardi so bad. Linda's dream is just to be Rivardi eventually.
I'm not going to talk about
the looked at them and was like, yes.
the cult of Rivardi is actually quite strong,
strong.
It must be said.
It's strong. They were iconic, you know?
Yeah, we'll add that to the footnotes of your lecture. Or maybe mine, you know. Have to be a terrible champion of whatever the fuck I'm meant to be. Vigilance. But so E3, Rivardi wasn't alive to compete against me, so I won fair and square. However, that kind of win.
If I can say something. So I remember you telling me that was wild. But more than that, I remember after the event, so this was between E3 and E4, you were like, yeah, I'm like talking to some of the other champions, there's all these plans. And then I don't know if you'd heard from someone or if you received a letter, like it was either at an event or it was a letter or something. You were like very hurt, I'm gonna say. You were very hurt, like they don't want me to do any of this. They don't think I'm going to be any good. Everyone's saying that I'm going to mess it up. And I think that was the point where you decided to put all of your effort into it. Because you were like, no. Yeah. Nothing, if not easily dareable.
So it does. Yeah, so that is correct. Rather than it being like a person, it wasn't a personal attack. It was very much, there was a strong movement to remove me immediately.
Yeah.
Like immediately. And it was a bit sus because I thought, like these people putting this kind of message out into this, you know, general Empire space, I haven't met them, IC or OC, something's off. More on that later. But the TLDR
it was all IC. Yeah. I mean you'd come off playing a very infamous morally grey, let's say.
Linda is a golden ray of sunshine. Linda turned up to find his mum in Anvil, all right? That's...
Oh, Linda is the best boy. And you know, there's always an element, I think, where you worry that people won't be able to forget your previous character. It happens, you know, because they've seen your literal, actual face and cannot really actually remember things. So, of course, you worry about these things, but yeah.
Yeah.
Luckily.
Something else for my second one. The changes to crime.
Crime and roleplay.
And on top of that, the really economy. And just how little we can do to stop the oligarchs. But anyway,
Matty ranting about various things.
Save that for the Shatter Sums sidecast.
Yes, yeah. We'll get pickers on. Tell us about the money.
So anyway, ignoring pickers and him hitting the keyboard at that sentence, there was a skirmish at 7:45 to help the orcs. We didn't go on it. That was fun. The reason we didn't go on it is because we didn't show up early enough for it, because we're doing all the general elections, get kitted up, jogged over, too late. Other randoms had gotten into the queue, and it was clear they'd just gotten organised, so we can't really push people out at that point.
Yeah.
Hey-ho. Yeah. Following on from the interlude between E3 and 4, I finally meet my boss properly, the Cardinal of Vigilance. The Cardinal
Vigilance.
God.
Sorry, Galen.
I'm so unqualified. Anyway, I believe go on.
No, it's fine. I just laughed so much about the idea of you not being vigilant enough to know how to say vigilance. Well, God, I've done it now.
Vigilance. Anyway, it might not be the first words out of his mouth, but it was the first words I listened to and really heard was, you're in trouble, Linda. And the Cardinal basically warned me of my imminent revocation.
Mm-hmm.
And that was
a meeting with you, didn't they? You had a meeting
I was actually excluded from that. So one of the winds of fortune between E3 and E4 was the Bornwatch, which is the Champion of Vigilance shield. It's an Empire artifact. It's like the whole point that champions exist is to get these shields back and then do some other shit. I don't care. But that shield was in the Empire via a Axos sort of nobility character, was the vibe I got. Basically, Fintan Nighthaven is the ambassador to Axos. So we'd met, we talked, and then the Cardinal wanted to exclude me from the meeting to talk about the shield. I was within 3 feet, and I heard, you know, the conversation, and Fintan basically saying, like, why would we exclude him? But of course, this is IC politics, and it was delicious. Mm-hmm. So what this caused is the, I think Ian put it perfectly. I think they talked about this for their E3, E4 episode, is And I quote, Chris is the kind of person who doesn't take things seriously until you tell him he isn't taking things seriously.
Yeah.
And yeah, that's exactly what happened here. And it will be a theme throughout the rest of this event, is basically spiting this particular conversation as much as possible.
Yeah.
But it was
it's so true.
Yeah, it was my first experience of proper politics.
Mm.
More on that as we go through, but it didn't matter if I was good or not, what was fair or unfair, although that never really matters at Empire. It was a really cool bit of RP to get stuck into. And
it's nice when you know it's
things.
Like deliberate political maneuvering. Mm. You get that little thrill of like, ooh, this is like, this is a conflict that we've all kind of bought into, rather than just someone doesn't like me and it's for something, no real reason. And it's not a game. It just feels rough. When you're like, okay, this is part of this game that I've stepped into. And by stepping into it, I've agreed to play it. And also they have, which means we both know the level that we're on for this. Yeah, that's good kind of politics. Love
definitely.
It.
Yeah, because it's my first time. There was a little bit of that reeling of what the hell between E3 and 4. But I was ready by the time we hit the ground at E4. So good to go. Very good to go. So yeah, absolutely. The line is, I channel my spite. I plan to show them up. Start furious trading to raise cash. That was
You had to raise so much money.
Yep. So Linda was not particularly wealthy. I'm going to say it here, and this is OC knowledge. Linda was dealing a lot of bite at this point. So he had some cash, but it wasn't liquid.
You cut out a lot then.
Did I? Good. I was talking about me dealing bite.
Oh, the internet specifically tried to stop you from saying
Chris,
it.
Chris, are you sure? Can you trust people to keep OC
Chris,
knowledge?
Don't do this.
So anyway, Linda was originally a potion character. The Axos drug dealers who came to town at E2 and E3, dealing like
there was a little bit of ban still in his system at that point.
Oh, it was so fun. PD can't dangle that worm and expect me not to chomp down onto that spiky.
They were like,
book.
Who's on this battle? Chris Anson's on this battle. Okay, then.
With a box of blue. Anyway, so I got all of those drugs were legal from Axos, right? All fine, and got stuck in with those. However, bite is, of course, highly illegal, and I'd come across some and basically was selling it. We're talking some as like 10 doses, that kind of stuff. However, I had that in my pocket, my starting resources, and that was it. And the reason that isn't enough is because I had to get hold of 10 rings of ilium within the space of about 24 hours. Don't know...
Dose a bite for a ring, you know?
Yeah.
A ring of ilium, not a ring.
Yeah, a ring. God, that's a good rate. But each of these is worth between sort of 4 and 5 thrones, depending on who you're talking to, ish. And yeah, raising 40 thrones from a standing start, especially when your float for trading is illegal drugs. It's not like it's cash or resources or anything useful or liquid. It's just some salt. Some astringent blue salts. So more on those later. But very difficult challenge. But again, channeling spite, ready to do some trading.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I didn't really do much until I think I found you after a trial. So what led up to that? How did you get from starting to trade to
ending up in court?
Yeah. Not for yourself, I'd like to point out. Linde is, despite the shaky bite start, a good boy. Probably the goodest of the Chris Anson boys. Gooder, in fact, even than Chris himself.
he got gooder.
Got very good. So what on earth happened in the middle there?
Yeah, so I missed my champions meeting, which took it the score to 3 meetings in a row I'd missed. My own election, my own inauguration, and my first team meeting. So employee-wise, fucking dreadful start.
Hmm.
I was actually away, though, just trading, like getting hold of resources, using some of my petty cash, liquidating Bite with some known faces at rock bottom prices just to get it out of my hands. So I had some trading to do. I traded away the infamous Busty Rat. If those of you who listen to this on the regular, you might remember that celebrity rat appearing in the honeypot at E2 and E3 last year.
Never to be seen again.
He's gone, and he no longer provides for his, I think it was 532 children underneath Sarvos, because his gambling the official story
he's
is
sold into slavery. That's illegal, Chris. It's illegal.
No,
in
no,
the
he's
Empire.
Not a slave. A herald took him. So I met a herald, and yeah. So just gonna. This was
a herald.
Like, this was the low point of the weekend.
It wasn't
gets
a
so
tulpa again, was it?
It was not another tulpa.
Okay.
Oh, Linda, getting in trouble with tulpas again. It was real. It was a real herald. I swear. But yeah, met herald. Was collecting. Basically trading tokens of favor. Actually, thank you for reminding me, Matty. I have this in my pocket still. I clearly need to go and talk to the Archmage of Winter about this.
What?
Add that to my to-do list. Yeah, more on that later.
Yeah.
Just after E1, folks. Need to go do that. Anyway,
Chris, I have a question. And then what does WEC brackets F close brackets mean?
This is the Wintermark Economic Forum. Sorry, the Wintermark Economic Community? I don't know. It's Forum. It's obviously a copy of the World Economic Forum with Wintermark instead of World in. They are a group of traders. Think of it a bit like our Brokers Council, but much more... that's not fair. I was about to say much more successful. I'd say much more wealthy, because I walked into this tent, and they're bandying around like hundreds of thrones. And I thought, jackpot, this is what I need for the shield and for the Ilium, right? And I walk in and say, sorry to interrupt, blah, blah, blah. I need Ilium. Can any of you sell it to me? They look at me and they're like, you shouldn't be here and we're not interested. Like, this is none of your business. And I pull out the coolest line, but at least until this point, as Linda, which is, I'm the champion of vigilance. Everything is my business. And it just fell out of my mouth.
Nice.
And I was like, that was much cooler than I felt inside. And that actually got me in the door. And they were like, oh shit. A couple of them started duping their coins back into their pouches. And I'm like, what are you doing? Is this a raid?
Okay, this might be a rumor. And no one is allowed to use this as information, because I could be telling complete lies. But if it's the same meeting that I know about / have walked past, it's one where they discuss what they're going to pay for Bors resources.
It was.
And I believe that was the one where they were having a debate about whether they were going to crash the economy or not. Essentially, they were trying to decide a way to not do that, but they had to work together in some particular way in order to make that work. I don't know.
Pretty
and
well,
it was it that one? You're nodding. Oh my God.
Yeah. That was, yeah, that was pretty wild. Walking in on that. Hung around, had some chats. Won't go into that any further, because that's like other people's game. But from my point of view, I found someone to sell me some Ilium, so I'm a happy boy. And then at this point, I hear that there's been an attempted murder.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's it.
And this is how I end up in
court. Oh, God. Oh, God, yeah. No, it was a good time. I remember right at the beginning hearing OC from one of our camping mates and friends that I think he had some plans for something that he wouldn't tell us about, which was to keep it secret, to keep it safe. No, but also, you know, sometimes you don't want to drag other people into it, or you want to see what happens first. And they were crime-related plans. They were IC-driven politically / possibly to do with backstory stuff that had then interacted with things on the field. Either way.
Yeah, this was a concerned citizen for sure, and it was very much like a high-drama political move.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, it was like, you know, someone trying to make a statement. slash kill someone. You know.
Yeah, it was an attempt.
Depending on what you believe.
Yeah, and that murderer, that wannabe murderer, was our dear friend Percy Blackleaf.
Now
deceased Percy Blackleaf.
Now deceased, that's the word, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I can't remember what it was. I mean, obviously, I don't think it was successful.
It was not. It was comedically not successful.
Is it the one where he fell over?
Yep.
On top of them?
Yep. And then was grabbed by other citizens.
Yeah, yeah. I think he tripped or something. And obviously, you know, it's not supposed to get physical, so things kind of had to take a step back. But he still got arrested. And somehow, despite facing someone we know to have a particular affinity for the death sentence, he did not die. I walked into the tent as this was finishing, as you were like saying goodbye to this whole situation. I mean, I wasn't happy, but before then, you did it, man, you did it.
Yeah, I got him off. It was a literal attempted murder. Which he confessed to as part of his plea, with at least 5 to 10 witnesses. Cold-blooded killing with a very clear motive for
premeditated,
money.
Premeditated, yeah.
Thank you, premeditated as well. So yeah, basically Percy, the vibe was that, actually as Matthew mentioned, there were some players in a very cool way, like OC, I think these players are fucking great. IC, there are some oligarchs that can basically at any point choose to crash our economy.
Yes.
And also control the prices on boss resources, which is what they do because, like, why wouldn't you?
Yeah.
But he was trying to make a difference to that. I think it was for a particular Mithril seat. And the vote was happening either later that evening or early the next morning. I think it was the next day. And he just decided that this particular player had to die.
This particular character had to die.
Character, sorry. Morks in a verse.
Chris is like, no. It was an actual murder trial.
Yeah, he's got a Mark II fragmentation grenade and rolled it into his tent at 3 a.m. Nah. It was, this character, sorry. Thank you. Had to die, and like you said, botches the murder, gets caught, brought in. And
I was unlucky.
I try and stamp my ticket as a defense lawyer and trot in to defend him. And
as not only the champion of vigilance, but a professional speaker and convincer of other people's, really. So that sort of stuff is your jam.
Oh, you mean sales? Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, talking to people and convincing them to change their mind.
Please give me $6.4 million.
Yeah. God, I feel like I should now.
If you don't, I won't leave. That's how to get arrested. The basic defense play was that actually just stating that particular problem with oligarchs, threat to the empire, like vigilance is all about protecting what you care about, making sure that others are safe through your actions and finding things to look after. It's basically like being a mother duck, and I think it's quite endearing in that light. It's not about extermination and rigidly sticking to a doctrine in case something goes wrong. More on that later. More on that after E1, because there's been a major doctrine change that I'm not 100% on board with.
Should be interesting.
Yeah. So anyway, we go through, talk to the magistrate and say, you know, this is very foolish, but this was a vigilant act. And in fact, by showing the displeasure of the common citizenry towards this particular character, we might indeed save the empire hundreds of thrones, which means that we will be able to pay armies, we'll be able to pay for upkeep on fortifications, and people will not die because of Percy's actions. Like you said, it worked. It fucking worked.
Unbelievable.
Yeah.
Especially unbelievable because it was the same magistrate who had killed Ban Chattersong. Mm. So There had to be an added level for you. For not exactly, for not commit. Exactly. I just want to put those two side by side for a second. Yeah. This will come up again in my Laws and Injustices of the Empire lecture. That's episode 3 of the Shatter Sums podcast, Matty only. I'm pitching it.
The Matter Song podcast.
Ban Shatter Song commits no crime, executed on suspicion of maybe going to be attempting to do a crime. Decent suspicion, still unsubstantiated. Percy Blackleaf, Broad Daylight, Winterbuck, hundreds and hundreds of witnesses. No death, just a fine. A hefty fine,
and confess guilty to the crime.
Confess to the crime, yeah.
Attempted murder.
Exactly, exactly. Unbelievable. Well, we know, we've seen actual murder can get you just a throne fine as well. So look, there is no consistency. That's why that's going to be one of my lectures. But as a player, right, as you as Chris, facing someone who is, you know, just another person as a character, but there's still an element of, you know, this is the person that killed you last time. Like, that's got to feel some kind of way. Like, what was it feeling like?
It was more the you know, like, sort of stage fright of you're sitting in front of people and looking at Percy, and he looked pretty defeated at this point, because he knows his character is the odds of him getting out of this alive are extremely low, because with executions they're enacted immediately, and a lot of our friends had gathered to say goodbye to him.
Chris, you're going in and out again.
Oh no.
Right. Start your story again.
All right then.
How did it feel?
So the Percy had basically given up at this point. His friends had come to say goodbye. And I wasn't really thinking about this particular magistrate. I was more thinking about Percy, of this was kind of a cool character. Lasted about a year. You know, this matters. And I want this to be at least a good attempt to save his life, even though he's probably going to die anyway. Mm. I don't want to feel like I'm the reason that his lovely little character gets turned into strawberry jam by the militia.
Oh.
And
you were saying while the internet was crumbly about how they do the executions.
Yes. So the executions are immediate.
Yes, they are.
At the end of the trial.
You don't get to say a damn thing. You don't get to say a single thing. It is, I pronounce that the judgment be death. Bam, you're dead. That's it. It is literally that fast. Yep. More on that in episode 20 of Matty's podcast. Anyway, yeah, God.
Yeah, so...
But it was, it's crazy. It's the first time you've done that, too.
Yeah, first ever virtue defense, and I thought, being champion of vigilance, I should probably at least try it, right? And just, you know, not to be crude, but swing my dick in the breeze. You know, it's like, oh, look at me, I'm the champion of vigilance. I'm definitely an authority on whatever he's done, which is not true. But if I really get to come off, it was a 25 throne fine. So real steep.
Okay, which, as everyone knows, is about the collective worth of half of Navarre.
Yeah. So this was a delay to his death sentence. And it had to be paid before the end of the weekend as well. So he was dying that weekend or in debt.
Yeah, I think the other Blackleaves would have just killed him. It'd just been easier. It would have been easier. The right thing to do.
Yeah. Unfortunately, Percy didn't survive until the end of the weekend. He was killed in battle against the enemy. Well, unfortunately for Pickers, because Pickers has now inherited this debt, apparently, which is not...
Yes, since apparently debts can be inherited now.
Yeah, which I...
More on that in...
so many tangents. Right, that's power
I've got
through.
So many rants to have. Yes, okay. So I arrived. I had a bit of a bone to pick with this proceedings, and Isa is a lot more outspoken than Larkin was, and cares a lot less about being political and polite. So I charged in and I started asking questions about how it all works. There was, so I did have an actual reason. I wanted to try, without it dropping directly OC, I was trying to find out certain things about how the magistrates work. Because you hear
at the back of the tent and they just throw it at the penalty.
Well, that's the thing. I was like, I wanted to know how it works. What I was really trying to get at without, again, dropping OC was I wanted to ask, if are you all NPCs? In that case, are you playing with character biases or are you fundamentally like, it's not possible for you to be flawed? So therefore, and by saying the next thing, I think I will start to give away some personal opinions, but if someone is being a dick, is it on purpose or is it by accident? Is it a character thing you are playing as this NPC that we can react to and take as plot, essentially? Mm-hmm. Or is it that you just, as a player, such an NPC player, you believe that you're doing the right thing and actually it's just coming across as not very good or nice?
I can tell you the answer to that if you don't know still.
Well, I sort of do, but for the sake of everyone else listening.
Sure. So magistrates are NPCs. It is on the crime page on the wiki. Not that you have to read it to play the game, but it's there.
No, I know they're NPCs, but you can be an NPC and be infallible, like the civil service, right? Or there are people, the civil servants in the hub. They don't have biases. They don't have like necessarily opinions on things. They don't influence plot. But egregores, also NPCs, can influence plot. They have different opinions. They have different personalities. They have like a character, so to speak. So they have something that's a bit lot more interactable. You could dislike an egregore because they're playing a particular character and know that they're playing a character.
Gotcha. In which case,
does that make sense?
Yeah, in which case I will change my answer to the magistrate. You know, they're NPCs, but they're definitely playing characters. Some of them are different to others. There is a lot of variance, and there are good days. So there are good magistrates and bad magistrates to see when you're in the dark.
Yeah, yeah. Fundamentally, though, I have actually also asked this of like crew people. They are supposed to be unflawed. Therefore, there is not ever going to be a game of like corrupt politician. Magistrate.
Not corrupt, but some are very much like, let's start the heads rolling, let the bodies hit the floor. And others are like, oh, let's just do a fine. We need more money anyway, because it goes into the Senate budget.
Which inherently feels like they might be flawed. Let's put it out there.
I see nothing wrong with dead criminals enjoyed. And funded armies. This message paid by the Anvil Militia.
Yeah, exactly.
You could be like an
anyway.
Army attendant. Pulling people into court and giving them, getting them fines.
Yeah,
they should
I
do
mean,
that.
Like,
the Empire's short of money.
Why not? Anything to make a bit of cash. So I will. Anyway, I strode in to have this conversation. I just remember you being like, "Don't! It's so close. He could change his mind at any second."
I was like, "What are you doing?"
That would be if that happens. Then I, you know, honestly, if you turn around and been like, okay, I'm changing my mind, I would have jobbed him there and then. I really was that angry. Like, that would have been the ultimate answer to the questions I was going to ask. It
would have been defeat snatched from the jaws of victory.
Yeah, that would have been a really, really poor move. Like, I would have probably actually complained to PD genuinely on an OC note if that had happened.
Would have been
like
surprising.
I'd charged on over there. It would have been very spicy.
Suspicion of attempted murder again in the future.
Yeah. Well, they've changed some of the sort of legal rules as well.
Mm. Mm.
There's been a clarification now. Anyway, that's like something slightly else. But after that, bar crawl. It was a good time.
So,
of it was just fun.
Mm. The easy descriptor is I went out and got more Ilium. Ossian helped me out, one of the other guys at Blackscarf.
Yes.
Really good at sniffing out where Ilium was, and then getting, like, I'd give him coin, for example, to go and just buy it from people and stuff.
Yeah,
like that,
that is someone who is destined to be a great broker. That's broker all over it.
That is just good brokerage. Yeah.
We ended up at, first of all, actually, it was really nice. We started at the Drunken Goose, and we were all very tired. I was having a really great reminiscing chat, actually, with Tiki about old stories. We managed to stay IC enough to be like, so Tiki obviously is playing his own son now.
Oh my God.
Blythe is Tiki's son. Yeah, did you not know this?
The age Tiki difference was is about 3 years.
Nah, Tiki was just much older than he looked, and Blythe is much younger than he looked. Blythe is about 16, and Tiki was 42.
Interesting. Okay, continue.
It's not true, but that's my justification. And obviously, I playing Isa. Isa knew Larkin at least pretty well, so had, in inverted commas, heard lots of stories. So we were reminiscing about some old times for the first while, which was just really nice. It was just a lovely time. And then we headed off, and we ended up in the Empire Bar.
Brand new.
Which was very confusing. And yeah, it was amazing. It was that giant bar at the bottom of Highgard, I believe. Because they were using it for Highgard National Meeting earlier on. Yeah. With like a proper like stage floor in the center, a bar. They had music. They had specific permission from PD for all of the things that they did. But it was amazing.
Like the size of it. It must have been 15 meters in diameter.
Maybe 20. Honestly couldn't even tell you. It was huge. It was so cool.
It was big.
And it was so much fun. We get in and they were doing dancing, so we joined in with some of the dancing. There was just loads of our little group there. It was super fun. Yeah, I mean, you know, it was nice because, you know, you don't get to do things like dance. And that's always just a fun little time. You feel like you're in Hobbiton, you know, having a dance along. It's very immersive. Like, we found from, was it E4 or was it E3 when we went to Highgard? I think that was E3.
I think that was E3 because that was after E2 with the poisoning. You're thinking of Balthazar the Vinter.
No, but, yeah, but was that E4? No.
Yeah, that was
E3. No, it was E3. God, I can't remember.
I remember meeting some of the players within Balthazar's Vineyard, or the Balthazar's chapter, whatever it is.
But it was like that moment. Oh, yeah. So it was much like that moment. It's those moments that those really feel the immersive ones, you know, when people start singing in a bar or you're dancing around, because those are the things that really don't ever happen in real life, you know?
Yes.
So are the ones where I'm like, oh, this really is. Yeah. When's the last time you all burst into song in a Wetherspoons? But yeah, so the Empire Bar was amazing. That was good fun. And I don't remember how it started, but knife fights started. Very quickly, our group was sort of just doing little knife fights on the stagey bit. And then people started crowding around. Blythe jumped into referee, and people started betting. I made some money off convincing one of ours to throw a fight, and she was very convincing. And I just fleeced some leaguers, and they genuinely had no idea. I thought it was a really obvious play, like I thought it was obvious, and no idea.
Maybe
so anyway, I got
the money.
I told them about it afterwards because I was like, yeah. And they just let me keep the money. And I was like, thanks, mate. Cheers.
Was that IC? You told them that it was a scam?
Yeah. Yeah.
What the hell is wrong with Isa?
I wasn't going to give the money back. No, I'd already pocketed the money.
I can't
remember what it was. I think Harold could come up and asked for her share. Something like that. There was a reason. Or maybe I couldn't quite resist the urge to gloat is more likely.
No, that makes a bit more sense.
Yeah. You get that urge. Yeah. So yeah, well, that was good fun.
Implies
that
I
was really no, it was good fun. It was really nice. And then you guys came in and told us that you'd got all the Ilium.
Yeah.
And it was a very late night.
I was maybe a couple rings off, but I think the final note I've got in there is I came in and, quote, found all the main characters. Because I walk into this bar and I see all of you lot, all my friends, and I'm like, oh my God, great, fantastic. And then the final thing is, can we scroll up just a smidgen? There we go. I got a 25 throne loan at 3 a.m. written in blood. And I'm not going to elaborate on that. Saturday morning.
All right. All right. Fair enough. Keep your secrets. Is it binding if it's at 3 a.m.? Is that what the blood was for?
Yeah, this was an OC blood contract for 25
to make sure
25
oh,
chairs.
We're in timeout now. Okay, well, I guess it's the blood contract then.
Yeah, there's no hearth magic. It is just blood.
It's not legally binding.
Yeah.
All right, Saturday main battle. I can't remember where we went. Where did we go?
We were against the Druge. I believe this was one of the final battles for the Barons.
That would make sense. That would
make a
lot of
sense. For the next while, because we'd already taken the Spires of Dusk. Because I remember going around in Dawn going, whoa, 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 after the Hounds of Glory were nobody killed in storming that citadel. But I think this was like a mop-up operation. And it was a fucking great battle. A lot happened. It was very dynamic in the woods, lots of maneuver and shifting and ambush and counter ambush as well. Exciting one for sure.
I remember it was one of the many, but in particular, it was one that was so hot standing at the Sentinel Gate that I think we were honestly with the banner and everything, trying to hide under it in the shade. Oh, I couldn't wear armor. I didn't wear a single thing of armor. And I was like, I'm an archer. If I get hit, I'll go down. It's fine. You know, I'll deal with that. And it was great. I actually really liked it. I had a great time. I was still Green Eyeser though, of course. But yeah, it was the Scarchers, the Black Scarchers again. It was us again. But I can't remember how it started. Take it away.
Yeah, so there's actually a perfect picture of this. You and me, I think it's a Oliver Facey one, sort of doing a bit of screening as we go on to that particular battle. And yeah, I've actually just pulled it up in front of me now.
Is it the one where you're crouching and I'm standing next to you with
it is indeed
an incredibly suspicious expression on my face?
Yeah, you're like a bit bitter.
I'm like, like the meme girl.
Yeah.
it was
hot as sin. And
it was. I was so glad that we got into the forest really quickly.
Yeah. And it's something that Navar struggles with his headwear. A bandana is about it. But for like really hot days like that, I went for basically like a little green gardening hat with some, I think it was some fake lavender in there.
Yeah.
And tried to make a little boon hat just to, you know, it's anything just to keep the sun off my bald head.
Mm.
It felt cute. A little bit marchery though. But
it was a bit marchery, but it also was fine. You weren't overly, like, we always talk about kit and we're very judgmental of our own kit, I think. And that's because we have high standards and that's good. But it is worth remembering that your kit is very, very good. So one hat that is mostly pretty good, but then looks a little bit marchery is not going to ruin the illusion.
Yeah, it was a green sun hat, so meh.
Yeah,
good enough.
Fine.
And practical, as Navarro should be. But yeah, that, you know, the burning sun in our eyes aside, fucking awesome battle.
So good.
The main emotions, sort of TLDR, is we go into the woods, we strike left, swing around into the fort, swing around the back, push up into the top left of the woods, if you're looking at it from above. Then we start getting hit in the rear. Then we come back down.
Wait. Yeah, yeah,
then
yeah.
We head up and then down again, then piss off.
We so were all over the woods, yeah.
Yeah, real, really mobile battle.
I remember not much happening on the field. There wasn't a lot happening on the field.
No.
And then when we got into the forest, and Blatskar went left and up into the ferny bit.
Mm-hmm.
And I think we actually left them and went right, because there was a force that was amassing. There was some kind of regroup coming out. I think that was the bit where you were like...
Was it Isaac?
Was
it
that one? Yeah, literally. It was that. Like, yeah. It was that moment.
That was a little bit later in the battle, but that moment, because we can't leave the listeners gagging for that long, is most people don't want to die, and you could abuse that fact in the battlefield by pointing a bow at them. Mm-hmm. So there was an orc unit advancing, so we just ran up, the two of us.
Reinforcements.
Yeah, we just ran there and sort of put our bows under tension and aimed it at them. And they slowed the fuck down.
It was amazing. I think someone else came and joined us after that. But yeah, two of us. Yeah. That was it.
A unit of 30. And they formed a shield wall and just stood there.
Mm-hmm.
Like, cool. Cool. We've done our job.
Awesome. Great. Wonderful. Cool. You enjoy being over there? We'll stay here. That's great. Yeah, I remember we kind of kept Black Scar Banner in sight as usual, but then ended up running around. And you said the main emotions of the fight. Honestly, the main emotions of the fight were fun.
Yeah.
It was fun. It was no brutal. Stakes for us. It was just excellent. There was a lot of return fire. There were a lot of archers monstering, as well as lots of archers fighting. So for archers, and there was a lot of skirmishing, so there was not a lot of walls. Mm. There was lots of this person over here, this group over here, lots of legs available.
Legs. I owe you a ring, don't I?
You owe me more than a ring at this point.
Specifically for the battle this time round.
Yeah.
I was like,
this is a recurrence.
Shoot me in the leg.
Honestly, this is a recurrence of two things. One, anytime someone tells me, "I bet you should try this shot," I normally make that shot, even if it's an incredible one. Please see previous conversations about shooting Chris in the tankard.
Yep.
Which was incredible.
On the floor.
It's also a recurrence of you remembering me doing things that I don't remember, which is pretty good because at least someone remembers me doing cool stuff.
In the red mist, like all you can see is death.
I'm hopped up on so many good adrenaline vibes. It's the best feeling. Saw that pre-battle bite, you know. Mm. It's so much fun. And it was so much fun. Oh my god.
So this was the, I think E3, I technically did it once, but this battle was the birth of the Lindir Pincushion. So I did it against the Jotun at E3 once, and it got them very upset. But basically you find someone who's injured near a line, and you just keep shooting them on the floor until they are dead. Because often people will lose a limb, they get cleaved, and they sit there and the line's about a meter behind them. As an archer, you just start shooting the shit out of them. Obviously safely, of course, OC, but I see you just pincushion the fuck.
Mm-hmm.
And blow off limbs. It's like, you know, playing with a fly.
Yeah,
I don't know. Just rip off its wings. Like
I think my favorite target at E4 was arms. Mm. I was always aiming for arms, getting that arm so they drop your weapon. I was going for other archer arms as well.
Yeah.
That was the key one.
Oh, it's legs for me, you see. It's like fire red and leaf green.
But the thing is, and I've actually written this as a note later, but this is something I've repeatedly used and is completely allowed. You're allowed to fight from the ground.
You are.
You use a leg. You lose a leg and you have to go down on your butt. But that doesn't mean you can't swing at everyone nearby if you've got a weapon.
Precisely.
So I'm always about the arms first because, you know.
Ah, but they can run off and get healed. You hit them in the legs and then you pin cushion them. You just keep all your arrows.
You
are
supposed to drop your weapon as well if you get a hit in the arm. But,
you're not supposed to. But I suppose they're not armed at that. Quite literally not armed after the arm shot. But the legs, they can swing all they want. But if you're 3 or 4 meters away, just putting shots into them, very satisfying.
It's true.
Big power vibe. So yeah, can recommend.
Yeah. Your choice of limb. There you go.
Yeah, there we go.
Yeah, it was so much fun. Oh my god. Druge also great because they fan out. They were all mixed and matched. I found out later that some of my people that I knew had been targeting me, and I had no idea until afterwards. I had someone who said, "Oh yeah, you got me. I was running straight at you and you got me." And I was like, I don't remember this at all. But I do remember that there was a point where an orc was running towards me and I was like, "Why are you coming straight for me?" And I just pewed them. And I mean, it was fine. I was fine. Turns out I'm actually quite a good shot, even though I'm not wearing my glasses.
Yeah. Human-sized target.
Weird.
For me, it's easy. Yeah, we got...
It's muscle memory.
Yeah, from the notes, it's big battle, lots of trick shots. Like, there was lots of, like...
There were so many amazing shots.
And going out as well.
Yeah, it was so mutual. I think that was the real fun, was that it wasn't just the battle was fun, it was that us archers were having a great time against the other archers.
There's a whole other game going on. Like,
yeah, it was just like, honestly, it was just so good.
I think we went to supported, just looking at my notes, we supported the orcs first. We got separated from Blackscar. There was a heckler who was just on top of a log screaming at them, going blah, 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 slave, slaves, waving some shackles. And someone was like, "Shut him up." Obviously, your hero here, Lyndir Thornheart, steps out into the open, shot.
Yep.
He's about to turn around and duck, I hit him right in the back of the... Because he goes down, hit him in the back of the neck. So he just goes, clack! Guy's great role player, and just cartwheels off the log and just lies there. And I was like,
oh my God.
Wicked. Mm. Obviously, Druge Arch comes at me, fires, and I just do a little... It's not Matrix level, but it's just a little sidestep. And it goes in front of my face, maybe about a hand span in front of my nose.
Mm-hmm.
Did not feel very comfortable.
Yeah, this was making amazing shots and also avoiding amazing shots. So there were a lot of amazing shots fired at us, and there were a lot of very good misses because we managed to avoid them somehow.
Oh, yeah.
And it was, Oh, yeah. Oh, God, it was so good.
We pulling out herbs and like magic items and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, profitable.
You did your crawling up on trying to get the apex predator.
The apex predator.
Let's preface by saying there were a lot of amazing archers on the monster side. It's so really good. I remember two in particular. And of those two, there was one that kept cropping up who was wearing full chainmail hauberk.
Yeah.
And cool as a cucumber. No, didn't speak, no heckling, just made the most amazing shots. We got very lucky not to be hit by a lot of them.
Yeah.
Very, very cool. So we were like, this is the apex predator.
He was coined
by Chris.
Yeah, yeah, he really was. We'd advance through the woods, and then out of nowhere, there'd just be like a fucking M6, a machine gun would just basically open up on us.
Yeah,
it was three archers plus the apex predator. They'd kill about, they'd put down about 8 or 9 Imperials. We'd literally, I think at one point, I think this is just before the world's greatest shot. I'm just going to put it out there. My greatest ever shot. But we were like lying behind some bracken. It was like in a first-person shooter, you take cover behind a chest-high wall. And we were lying there, just screams rang out as arrows went over us, like just went, whoosh, and then hit other Dornish knights and stuff and absolutely murdered. And we're trying to shoot back.
The more you say about this, the more I wish I remember.
I'm not surprised.
But it sounds great when you're telling me about it.
Yeah, like the red mist must have been on because it's probably the only way we survived it. But it was no longer archery at LARP. It was blind firing Gears of War style at each other. We obviously weren't blind firing.
It felt like what I imagine, like paintball or something is like.
Yeah, yeah.
I've not done it, but I imagine it's very much that kind of vibe. It was real like following, tracking.
We were pinned down. Yeah. I genuinely felt if I stood up and ran, I would be hit. So I had to lie down.
Yeah. Oh, I do vaguely remember this because I think they didn't know we were there. And that was the only reason we were alive was because we were much closer to them than the people that were being shot at.
Yeah,
and we were just like, don't let them know.
Yeah, and then like they'd run past us, we'd shoot some in the back and stuff like that.
God, it was good.
Oh man.
I remember that last bit, so they were pulling up towards the top gate. That was like near the end.
And that was when we decided to go Metal Gear Solid on them. So Ghost Recon.
This was you. So no, this was. It was actually.
We need to hunt him down because that one archer is going to kill hundreds of Imperials.
No, that was the last bit. So before that is the other shot.
Oh yeah. So
that was the other bit was when we were pulling out. So they were already pulling back that way, and we were standing on sort of the path that leads to Midgate leading. And that was some of the best shooting back and forth, because we knew it was coming towards the end of the battle. And at that point, there was going to be no ground gained or lost. And I think there was this kind of, like, obviously unspoken agreement that sort of went between the couple of archers over there and us two. And if there was someone else, I can't remember. There was also that one person who was just like a ranger elf, and she kept running and jumping onto a tree nearby and shooting him and then running away.
Oh,
and she was
God,
so
yeah,
cool.
She was,
and we were both just there like, oh, you're great. And then she just vanished again and be like, wow.
Did I see that? Is this real?
Wow. Just like an angel appeared and disappeared again. It was very cool. But yeah, so there was, I think, pretty much just the two of us and then a couple of them. And at that point, there's no reason to fire. There is no reason to fire back and forward. It's going to be useless. It's quite easy to miss, right? And you're going to have to end up getting your arrows left. There's no logical reason, but it is fun.
Oh, yeah.
And we are all doing archery because we like doing archery. And we like fun. Yeah, we do love fun. So it just sort of seemed to be the sort of natural thing that we were just going to stand there and just see who could hit who, basically.
Yeah, it was still a firefight.
Really,
it wasn't like a, oh, let's, you know, gentlemanly duelist like an 18th century French nobleman.
No, it was still like
we were
really trying.
Gunning,
you know,
each other down.
Yeah. Yeah. It was amazing. That was the point where I got the compliment, which is the best thing that has ever happened to me. Is the Apex Predator themselves, probably himself, not sure. And I think said shouted out something like, the one in the tree green trousers is a very good shot. And I remember looking around and being like, is that me? And I was like, thanks. And then I was like, wait, I mean, fuck you. I'm not sure.
Thank you.
I don't want to be complimented by a druge, but also, damn, that feels good. So yeah, it was really, really, really cool. I mean, look, I just want to point out that on the dock, I've written down one ring if you. So clearly I remembered that at the time.
Yeah,
I just haven't retained it since
and
then.
It is one ring, not five, which is much better.
I didn't say how many times you said that. But yeah, it's true. It's true. But yeah, it's always nice, you know. I haven't done archery for that long. And like I said, I need glasses in my day-to-day. I have quite bad vision. So it's quite cool to be good at something that I probably shouldn't be. And actually be good at it, you know. It's fun. It's fun. I had my new bow and everything. It just felt really, really good. And then
Ghost Recon will end, but my best shot is Lindir, and I've had some fucking crackers. Hit an orc in the leg, because as we know, it's the best place. Orc goes down. Another orc comes along to pop the good old stay with me, and yes, will help assist walking and get them out of there. And I'm like, yeah, just like anyone not following the Geneva Convention, medics are legitimate targets. So
you injure someone. Shoot into the healers. If you've got a good target, shoot the healer.
Yeah, you just shoot. You know, it's standard sniper stuff. You shoot someone dead in the open. So you shoot someone in the open. They're not dead. Sometimes they are, but another trooper will probably come and get them at some point, and you just wait for that to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Luckily at Empire, that's about 15 seconds, so it's not too long. So this other orc comes along, is about to pop a stay with me, and I fire again, trying to hit this guy. Now, part of the roleplay is you don't do it anymore because they've changed it, but they were sort of, take my hand! Yes, brother! Clasping hands together, and literally as they clasp on each other, my arrow decides to get in the way. And I don't mean it bounces off one of their hands. I mean between them, they wrap this thing. So they end up holding it in the middle of the shaft, and it stops.
Oh my god!
And they just my jaw drops. I'm like, eyes are like, look. And of course, you at this point, the doom music is playing, so you've got no idea what the fuck is going on.
I remember seeing one of your amazing shots, and it might have well been that one.
I think it was that one. It's got to be because they.
I remember
the arrow.
I just remember there being a moment where I saw something, and I was like. No, I saw that. Don't worry, I saw that. Obviously, I've forgotten now, but you know,
yeah,
I saw it then.
It mattered at that time.
It did.
But my jaw just dropped open. They looked at me, looked at their hands. The ref next to him was just like his jaw, he had sunglasses on, but his jaw just went. It just hung open.
Yeah.
And we all just stood there like, we all just basically immediately went OC, but just staring at each other like the vibe was gone. I was like, that's incredible. And then these two orcs, kudos to them, started tugging. Because so both limbs are like... crippled. And they were like, what do we do? And then the third orc comes along and starts pulling, like miming, pulling it out of their hands like a kebab, like a, like a chicken satay skewer. That's what it was. And I never, ever, I don't think I'll ever be a repeat of that shot. And I don't think I'll ever feel as good. But my God, it was just incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. So in a battle already made incredible by the didgeridoo firefight. I don't know if you remember the orc musicians getting shot at.
Was that not E3?
No, this was about 4 or 5 meters away from us getting machine gunned.
What?
Which is also another 4 or 5 meters away from the orc kebab.
Oh my God!
Once we got into that glade, roughly in the middle, we
it was a good one for us. God, I've no idea what Sol and the others were doing.
Murdering orcs. I think Sol got 24 melee kills.
Oh, was this the one where Grauka told us that basically your whole job is just to kill as many orcs as you can?
I think so. Yeah,
they had the target. Yeah, the one of the or the main objective or one of the objectives was to kill a certain number. Which meant that orcs had to kill, like, and Black Skull just eviscerated as many as they could.
Yeah.
Between us and them, I mean, I'm sure they were absolutely hammering. You know, we were having a great time.
Yeah.
But yeah, like, oh my God. Yeah,
between Black Skull, orcs, and us, easily 100 kills, if not more.
Yeah.
Easily.
Time. It was a really good time. I remember, so I think, if you're looking at what I'm looking at, I think this was actually before this, because this was right at the end. So because we've established, I actually do remember this one. It's like all the only things I remember. And I remember the other one too. So we were during this sort of back and forth volley of who could hit. And I was like, I think I managed once to hit the apex predator right under the line of his chain sleeve. And I got him in the arm, and it was such a glorious moment. Obviously, he limped off to go and get something healed, but he couldn't shoot for a while, and I felt really good about that. Because
probably saved, 10 Imperials.
We talked about, the leg is useful. It's good. Especially for an archer, you can't really shoot from the ground. But getting an archer in the arm feels insulting. Like, it feels like an extra level of, like, ha-ha. Got you. Like, now you're really screwed. I can hit you in the arm. So that was a crowned moment for me. But we were firing back and forwards, and we were both, I think we had just turned to look at each other, or we were turning to look at each other in the moment.
This is the elf pranced off.
Oh God, it was incredible. The two of us are standing really right next to each other. And we turned to look at each other. I think we turned to, like, I don't know, clap on the shoulder or something.
Yeah, we were like, victory's ours. We shot ourselves. A couple, we've won. That was over.
Yeah, and as we were, like, maybe half a meter away, an arrow whizzes perfectly between our faces.
Yeah, at, like, and nose height.
Yeah, we were definitely already looking at each other because we were smiling at each other, and then we both just went with big wide eyes at each other, like, oh, and just sort of stood there for a half a second of, like, oh my God, that was really close.
Yeah.
Like, oh, that could have been real bad. Which was just beautiful. And
fortune one of us just wasn't down to that, because neither of us wearing heavy armor. Neck.
I think it was aimed at probably shoulder, but it would have hit us in the head at the height it was at. So that would be, it's only one hit if it hits.
It is technically, but it's not. We'd have chopped head. An arrow to the brainstem.
It's fun.
Yeah.
But so that was really right near the end. I'm just checking that I haven't got anything else. Yeah, I got some great shots. I just had some really good shots. And of course, the best thing about archery is that when firing is great, when people are firing back at you, you can reload your arrows. So it's advantageous to both sides to keep shooting. It's a very mutual thing. It's almost an OC thing. Yeah, because you want to keep firing.
You want their arrows.
You want their arrows, yeah. Exactly. I kept getting got in the leg all the time. I was getting arrows to the legs, impales and legs. Yeah, but hitting from the floor. I have a backup weapon. I'd just stab anyone who came near. It was fine. And of course, as an archer, it's not like you're miles away from anyone. So I just kept getting got up again. And it was amazing. I've got something that says Lindy's chest shot. And I think that was possibly when you got hit in the chest.
Yeah. Yep.
Directly in the chest. Was this not more or less right after it having just, you just got up from something? I feel like you'd gone down for something stupid.
Oh, do you remember when we were right in the middle of having a quiet chat with we saw the dread shields and like, oh, Blackscar's running off again. And I was like, Rook, there's two of us. There's a whole unit. Do something.
Yeah.
For the record, unbiased opinion, the dread shields definitely ran as well. Just saying.
Yes.
Oh my definitely, God. Definitely unbiased and definitely true.
Yeah. But I do remember though that you definitely ran towards something and just immediately got pegged in the chest and it was hilarious.
Yeah, I think I'd been clattered, got up, and then I was like, let's go, eyes. Thunk.
Yeah.
Just lying on the floor.
Absolutely,
like,
absolutely.
And I'm pretty sure it was the Apex Predator. Almost certain.
Oh, almost certain.
Almost certain. Yeah.
It would be deserved. Oh, yeah. Also, there was that point where we were scrambling around and there were people on the other side in the forest, and we were trying to figure out, are they Druge or not Druge? Because, you know, there were sometimes it's hard to tell when there's people without.
There was
masks.
Like a tree in the way, the unit just showed up from the direction of the Druge.
So we kind of went over and it was fine, but one of them grabbed us and was like, oh, though they were called out to us first, like, you Druge? We were like, no.
We're not Druge. We're Navarre. And that's exactly what a Druge would say.
Yeah, so it's they true, shoot it's us. True. They were definitely aiming and said, yeah, just wanted to let you know, I'm shot you because you look very Druge. And I was like, I'm not offended. I did the same. I almost shot you because I thought
I
you looked very Druge.
One round at us, actually. I was like, what the hell are you doing?
Oh, no. They said that they had shot at us earlier.
Oh,
yeah. Because I think they also said that we'd shot at them earlier, which is very possible because it's hard to tell. But as we pointed out it wasn't personal.
Like shooting Dornish knights is just testing their
arm. Yeah, exactly. But no, it was a good time. And then, of course, right at the end, so everyone was pulling back through the gate, and most people were already going through the gate. I think there were still people near the fort area.
Mm. And this is the gate onto the grassy field. Mid-gate.
Yeah, because we'd chased up towards where the reinforcements were coming from already. So I started to peel back because Chris turned to me and said, I've got an idea. And I was like, I reckon you could do it. I reckon you could. So I started pulling back slow, a little bit slow. And I can't remember who said it to me. I think it was a character who said something like, you know, we need to go. And I was like, no. I need to watch this. They don't know. Like someone came over and was like, he needs to pull back. And I was like, no, they don't know he's there. I've got to wait and see. And they're like, oh, okay. Because what were you doing?
So, I like Ghost Recon. Oh, actually, no, that's not true. I've never played Ghost Recon. I really like Armor 3. And the number one rule to not get spotted is to lie down and crawl somewhere. So I did that. I lay down. I think I cartwheeled off into a bush, and if you want to see something like that, go and watch the LARP Noobs Christmas special.
Yeah,
on YouTube, you will see classic Chris combat role.
Patented Chris combat role.
Yeah, and I start crawling up, maybe about in the bracken, about 20 meters or so, to get a flank on Apex Predator, because he's sat there chatting with Ref, and I'm like, oh, I'm not going to risk it. Shooting a ref is just asking for trouble. Mm. So I'm sat there I can see you shot another ref again. Did you? Oh.
Yeah.
It happens,
right? It happens. It happens a lot. Yeah. I'm sorry.
Civilians are legitimate targets.
Yeah.
But anyway, I remember seeing you, and I think it was the Wood Elf, to be honest.
Could have been.
Yeah. And he all just stood there looking nervous, and Apex Predator's clearly having an OC chat with the ref. And then he's like, right. And he starts coming towards you lot. And this is the moment I've been waiting
for. Yeah, you had
to
run. Was it? Because I remember from where I was looking, it looked like him suddenly moving actually meant you weren't quite in the position you wanted to.
He was stood still, but quite far away. But at that point, I'd have to just crawl into the glade and he would see me. I was waiting for him to come 90 degrees to my position so I could just hit him like in the side of the knee or anything. But wasn't fully chained up because he had a chain skirt on, greaves, chain shirt. And then it must have only taken about a minute or two, but it felt like 16 hours because the adrenaline. I could see all that you lot are rightfully pulling back and taking steps back.
Mm.
And he's like, oh, all right, they're pulling back. Let's send them a few shots their way.
Yeah, because Druge, they don't wait for you to retreat kindly. They will harry your flanks. So they were going to pull forward again.
Absolutely. And at this point, Lyndia Thornheart, champion of vigilance, bursts from the undergrowth and takes a pot shot at the apex predator. The apex predator turns just in time for the chainmail around their kneecap to block it.
Mm.
And I was like, fuck.
Mm.
And the loudest fuck I could yell. And then I ran. Like, you know, like, I don't know if you've ever seen a rabbit run into hedges. It's like, bang, straight in, gone. Yeah. Pew. Running back to you lot. And I'm like, because I knew he was loading and I knew he was aiming at me. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
He didn't hit me, luckily. It was really good. But that was very much luck rather than any skill that I have.
Yeah,
but yeah, we nearly gone.
Oh, it was just so funny, you know?
Yeah.
It was just so much good moments.
Mm. Every single minute of that fight was good.
Yeah, it's true. It's true. Oh my god.
Yeah, that rounds up the battle for me. Anything else from your side?
I don't think so. No. No, I think that was pretty much it. Oh, yeah. We head into Saturday afternoon as things get real sad.
Oh, God.
Real spicy.
Real sad.
Intense.
Oof.